In Mark's gospel, chapter 14, because they've already warned me, our listeners, do not cut this service off. Then they sent a message in by somebody this morning who stopped me and said, somebody said, don't turn the message off now. So I got to get through before that clock stopped ticking back there. And it automatically shuts them off. In Mark's gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse number 27, run with a sense of urgency to Mark's gospel, chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 27. So that there don't be a huge pause between Mark's gospel and John's gospel. Go ahead and mark John chapter 10. So that when I'm ready to go there, we can get there. So that it don't be confusing. Mark's gospel chapter 14. And then I'm going to go over to John chapter 10. Put your finger in. Slip a sheet of paper. You're there, all right? I hear an amen. Okay? So by consensus, we are there. Christ foretells, beginning in verse number 22nd, that in his sufferings, that he's going to be deserted by all of his disciples. Verse number 27, he tells them that all of you will be offended and all of you will leave me. You all will be offended because of me this night. Not tomorrow, but tonight. Jesus says emphatically, I know you will. And what I'm foretelling you now is no different than what the scriptures have already, didn't I tell you about prophetically spoken? What I'm telling you now has already been forespoken. It is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. So don't think that your leaving me is going to catch me by surprise. And I think it's so amazing that Jesus is so much better than us. I need you to look up at me for a moment now. Because he knew that he was going to be betrayed by these men who have been given him to surround him and to work with him in ministry. He knew that they were going to leave him, but still, he welcomed them to his table. Now that's important, because somebody ought to say, I'm not that mature yet. I need everybody to say that. I'm not that mature yet, because there is no way that I can know that you're going to leave me high and dry and still let you eat my food, wear my clothes, sit at my table and be in my home. We have fired our homeboys. We have let friendships that we have equicized. We've cut them off for less than that. We've let some people go because of what we heard they said. But Jesus knows this for a fact, that all of you, every one of you, are going to leave me, not tomorrow, you're going to leave me tonight, but I'm still going to embrace you right now. Now, he sees the fall, he sees the miscarriage of his disciples, and yet he doesn't refuse them. I'm going to keep reading in verse number 29. Now, what Peter responds to with Jesus' declaration is, Peter declared and said, even if everyone else leaves you, I will not. Jesus told Peter, today, somebody say today, before the rooster crows, I love Jesus. I love him. He pulls nature into it. He says, before the rooster crows, now y'all get this right so you don't misquote it. The rooster not going to crow three times. Peter's going to deny him three times. The rooster is only going to crow once. And by the time the rooster crows, Peter will have denied Jesus not one time, not two times, but on three occasions. Do you know him? No. Are you with him? No. But I identify you. That's not me. Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same thing that Peter said. God, let your Holy Ghost come in this house today. I'm ready to preach right there. Now, skillfully, I want to incorporate John chapter 10 right there. In verse number 27, this is what the word of the Lord says. My sheep hears my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Catch this. No one snatches them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, and he is greater than all others. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, I want you to say this with me. Get up some bullions and some energy and get on the edge of your seat, and let's get ready to ride here. Say this with me. I will be tested when it's time to go to the next level. Now, if you're close to somebody, I want you to say that to them. I will be tested when it's time to go to the next level. Now, sweetheart back there, controlling things and running things, get ready for the test that I have to go through, because I am going to the next level. And I'm getting ready for the test that you have to go through, because I know you too are going to the next level. We're going to ride this thing together. Now the question becomes now, why does bad things happen to good people? And when we ask the question, it can be so riddling without response, explanation. It is hard to father conversation when the question becomes why bad things happen to good people. It can also be perplexing depending on whether or not you're the one that's asking the question. Why do good things happen? Bad things happen to good people. There are times in our lives when we're going to do all of the good things that we know to do. We're going to do all of the good things. We're going to dot our I's. We're going to cross our T's. And not only are we going to do the good things, but we're going to give our very best to do the God things. And the whole time that we put forth our best to do the good things, our thoughts are, good things must now start happening for me. Some of us call it karma. Some of us call it reciprocating the goodness. Some of us call it playing it forward. But the average individual figures, if I do good, then good stuff is going to happen to me. And I'm a good person and I feel like good things ought to come my way. But then here comes reality. They don't happen. Instead, with all of your effort of doing good, bad things happen to you. a good person, but yet here comes the mundane and the negative that keeps on keeping on flowing through your life. Now, I want to run a query right here. I want to ask a question. I want to zero in. I want to tap into your spirit man right now while you have that on the very mantle of your consciousness. And you feel like right now, man, I know what he's talking about, because I am that person that have tried to do my best doing good and doing the God thing. But it still seems like I get the short end every time. In relationships, in your career, in your education, on your job, you put your best foot forward, and what you expected to get in return was to be running first or at least second. And here you are. You're running close to dead last. But I got a question now, and I want to put it to you straight. And I want to be very frank with you. What if the bad things that you think are bad things happening to you, what if that's just all you know and they are not actually bad things? What if? What if what you're calling bad things are not really bad things, but stands to reason why you're calling them bad things is because your circle of friends always keeps us reminded about things that are happening to us that they don't consider to be good things. Yeah. Sometimes we can be dealing with it, but then we get this feedback. Mm-hmm. We get this noise in our ear gate that'll ask us, tell us, if I were you, I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't deal with that. Now, we come to the conclusion that this ain't good. Mm-hmm. And so now, if it ain't a good thing, it has become a bad thing. You have left some people behind because somebody told you they weren't good for you. And I know we like to think, y'all ain't not going to admit it, but we like to always put it up front, like, I don't nobody tell me nothing. I do what I want. I cover all of my own ground. But you're influenced. Everybody's influenced by something. Everybody's influenced by somebody, good, bad, or indifferent. Everybody's influenced by something. What if the bad things, however they come about, however they have introduced themselves to your day-to-day life, however they have introduced themselves to the seasons in your life, I just want to just call them all just bad things. What if the bad things are not in fact bad things, but they are testing things? Try letting that roll off your mouth. Not bad things, but testing things. It's going to be a little bit more than just changing the color of it. It's going to be more. You got to just hang on now. But right for right now, will you do this for me? Let's just let our mindset move from it's not so bad, but it is a test. Now, let me take you to your school days. You can act a clown in school. You can be the class clown. You can run the hallways. You can be looked up to, venerated. You can be well respected for who you are, the ground you cover. You don't take nothing from nobody. But there was something about the word test that took its toll on you, even if you didn't plan to take it. But when Miss Johnson or Miss whoever it is, y'all know who that teacher was, whenever she would say, test, oh, you sit there and you look hard, but you knew that without the test, the possibility of promotion is starting to look very grim. Now, while I don't want to take the test, yeah, because then it's classified as a what kind of thing? A bad thing. While you don't want to take the test, reality remains, if you don't take the test, then you don't get the promotion. So it should be easy for us to kind of just reposition our mindset and stop calling everything bad and just simply say, well, test. Is that okay? Testing things are not bad things as you suppose. Have I made it clear enough already? It's a good place for you to say it's just a test. Now let me get the Bible, because it supports clearly and without any argument. James says, count it all joy. That's chapter 1 in verse number 2 and 4. Count it all joy when you encounter difficult and hard situations. He uses the term various temptations. But he says, count it all joy when you encounter these things, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. And then you gotta let patience, you gotta let it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't prematurely, you know, give it a bad rap. Let patience have her perfect work. All right. Now, I like the gender that he put on that, because patience can reproduce. Let patience have her perfect work. And I will show you that patience will perfect you. Yeah. So now, if James got this right, and I know he did, because God wouldn't have let it last this long. James could have wrote it, but it wouldn't have lasted this long if God didn't allow it. So it's credible. James says there is a process. And the process that makes us become the person that God created us to become can sometimes be so intense. You ought to say amen right there. It can be so extreme because it involves pain, sorrow, stress, and turmoil. What does the process include? Pain, sorrow, stress, and turmoil. And this is what it takes to bring us to become what God wants us to be. And while God is taking us through the process, James says, count it all joy. All right. Become what God wants you to be. And I need somebody to know today that you pray, God, make me a more patient person. Anybody ever ask God to do that? Let me tell you something about that. I don't want it to change your mind, but I want to be real with you. Becoming a patient person that you desire to be, living a matured, disciplined, and humble life the way that you want to be. James said, if that's your plan, then you have got to stop trying to wiggle out of the hard times too soon. Stop trying to make it stop prematurely. But what James tells you to do is, let's stay with it. Stay with it. Stop wiggling, trying to get out of the pain and the turmoil and the grief. All right. James said what you need to do in the midst of it is you need to count it. Now, that's a mathematical term that says evaluate. Yeah. let me say it so you can let me say it so it can be better understood. Whenever you're going through the test, evaluate the way that you're looking at what you're going through. That's what he said. Somebody missed it right there, because that would have been a good shouting point. All he told you to do was, is don't look at it the way that you would normally look at it, but evaluate it, look at it from a different perspective, and then you will come back with a different conclusion. Well, Lord, when you get through with me in this, because this too shall pass. Why? Because it's only a test. In other words, James is telling us that we ought to have a willingness to allow our trials and our testing to energize our faith. Lord, if you didn't already know before this came upon me that I had a way out, it could have never worked its way into my life. Because there is no circumstance that can randomly just come upon you. But just like with Job, somebody say, by permission only. Come on, somebody. I didn't say you didn't bring it on yourself, but still, even when you messed up, God still has to allow anything that is a circumstance that is to challenge you, he has to permit it to come upon you. Y'all don't believe me. I'm going to stay with the scriptures so I can stay in the safe zone. Every hair on your head is numbered. Now that means the barber don't stand a chance. Because for everyone that he cuts, God can grow it back. And for everything that you color, for every hair that you strand that you color, God can turn it back to what it was before. And then when you have combed it, brushed it, cut it, groomed it, and did everything that you want to, when God said, that's it. Don't y'all see me trying to hold on up here? I'm doing everything that I can. I think bald may be attractive to some folk, but Lord, just me. I don't want, ain't got it, don't want it. Hallelujah. And I'm just, all of that goes, there's something they said. I don't, but y'all get what I'm saying. So God now is in control of whatever happens to me. Nothing can just come upon you just randomly. Somebody ought to catch that right there. Did you know that synthetic diamonds, let me talk about your faith. Synthetic diamonds are brilliant. Synthetic means that they're what? Unreal. Synthetic diamonds are steel. Even though they are unreal, they can be brilliant for a season. Plated gold is durable. What? For a season. And then it goes from gold to what? Green. So-called friends can even seem loyal for a season. Huh? Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, Job's friends, they went sour on him, turned their backs on him. The reason I'm saying this is because anything can have the appearance of genuineness until it has been put through the process. Somebody ought to say amen. Anything appears to be genuine wholeheartedly. It can look real until it goes through the process. Well, I'm going to mess with y'all because y'all ain't talking back to me enough. Let me tell you something you said in your lifetime. I thought you said you love me. Somewhere you told somebody, I thought you said. It doesn't have to be a partner of the opposite sex. It could be your mom, your dad, your sister. I thought you said that you love me. In other words, the season seemed to have changed regarding their love, and their love is less genuine than you thought it was, just like synthetic diamonds, just like plated gold, just like so-called friends. Now, your faith has the same properties regarding it. As long as your faith is showcased, it's going to be brilliant. Let me help you. As long as your faith is inside these walls, sitting in these chairs, sitting at that instrument, holding this mic behind this podium, under these lights on this stage, as long as your faith is showcased, help me say it, it's going to be brilliant. As long as your faith, let me tell you when it's showcased. As long as your faith is on four tires, it's going to be brilliant. As long as your faith got a front door, a back door, windows, a roof, and a foundation, it's going to be brilliant. Y'all don't hear me. But James says, if that's your faith in the material things in life, then when you evaluate it and it is gone, then what's going to be your attitude towards the faith that you said that you had? Lord, here I am. I don't have a car. I took that. I don't have a home. I don't have this. But no, a few days ago, your faith was all up here. You got all of them bumper stickers on your car, crosses around your neck, Bible tucked under your arm, suits, gaiters, ostrich, all other exotic kinds of skins, ties and suits. You got some fettuccines, you got some Gucci's, you got some of this and that on your back. But then when all of that starts to fade away, where is your faith? I need somebody to say this with me, and I'm going to leave y'all alone. Say this with me. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got to get through this. Now, come on, go ahead and make a note to yourself. And you better tell yourself today and get up tomorrow. And you better say it again. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got to get through this. Car making a funny sound. Got a light on that you can't explain. That applies. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got to get through this. Sons and daughters talking crazy. Family is on the blink. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got to get through this. Come on, somebody pray with me here today. Health has started to attack you. Oh, body ain't what it used to be. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got to get through this. Job crazy. Career not looking too promising. It doesn't matter what it is. I've got to get through this. Why? Because it's only a test. See, y'all have already graduated. Y'all didn't say it's a bad thing. I heard y'all say it's a testing thing. One of the things that is so striking about being molded by God is the fact that I'm always quite conscious when God is molding me. Whenever God puts me in his hands, I can feel it. Now, where I get this from, Brandon, is when I look back and I see the prophet who is told by God to go down to the potter's house. I see him moving at God's command. But when he got there, he saw the potter with the clay and how he put it on the wheel. And he noticed that when whatever the object was didn't come out right, that all the potter would do is put the clay back through the process. Well, that's good, but I'm not an inanimate object. I can feel when God is molding me. And I can also tell when he has put me back through the process. Y'all not hearing me? Now, I would sometime that there was some kind of spiritual anesthetic that God would just put me under And then by the time that I come out of that analgesic state, that I would be a finished product. But it don't work like that. I want to tell you, when God takes you down through there, you're going to feel every bump in the road. You're going to feel the rocking, and you're going to feel the reeling. You're going to feel when God is working on you. Somebody say yes. And when I see this, I think that when it comes to projecting and anticipating what I've got to go through next to move to the next level, then I need to keep two things in mind. Are y'all here with me today? And I hope that everybody here is ready to go on to the next wave. I hope that everybody here is ready to not be conformed to this world, but you're ready to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I hope that everyone here is ready to go from one realm of glory and move on to another realm of glory, and then to another level of glory. I'm going to get there. Hold it just a minute now, Brandon, because I know when you get there, bro, I'll be pushed. Stay right there. Just let me pause for a minute. You see, what I'm going to do while I am doing what? Projecting and anticipating. What did I say I'm doing? I'm projecting, meaning I'm looking yonder forward towards. And not only am I projecting, but I'm also anticipating, meaning that I'm ready for God to make his next move. And if I'm projecting and anticipating, then that means that my current state is now in expectation, meaning that whatever is about to happen, it has to be a God thing. Yes, from where I am, I'm living every day of my life in expectation. It doesn't matter what it looks like. That's why I can tell myself, it doesn't matter what it takes. In expectation, I'm going to get through this. Yeah, I need to know today, am I talking to some young men that are projecting? God does not deal with you where you are, but he deals with you based on where he's taking you to. You see, he already prepared you for where you are right now. That's how you made it to your very place that you are. God did that a long time ago. So now, when God deals with you on today, the rest of this day, and tomorrow, he's getting you ready for something that you cannot handle right now. Y'all don't hear me. Yes, yes. So here I am now, some 20, 40, 60, 64. But God is getting me ready. Now, I don't know whether I'm going to make 40, 20, 40, 60, or 80. But I'm not going to wait until I get 80 years old to say, Lord, if I had have known that you were going to let me get this old, I would have taken better care of myself. I'm going to preach here today. But every day of my life, I'm going to live like I'm going to get there anyhow. Somebody ought to praise him right there. I'm gonna start shaking some stuff now so I don't have to do it later. Thank you, Luella. I hear her talking to me now. An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. So I'm not gonna wait until the battle is over, but I'm gonna do some shouting right now. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? You see, so now everything, yes, in its place. And am I the only one that are having these hyper spiritual thoughts? If you're here today and you're living in expectation, then just slip your hands together. Clap for a minute. Now, anticipating and projecting, two things I got to do for you right here. Number one, if you're going to anticipate and if you're going to project, then remember, always keep it real. Don't live in no fictitious life. Don't be living in no altered state. You gotta watch social media. It turns you into somebody that you're really not. I'm gonna preach right there for a minute because I want to help some young folk. You doing all of that right there, on that right there, but for real though. I'm trying to tell you, keep it real. The same folk that'll do all of this on the book, when they get right here, they all, you understand what am I talking real here today? So what you need to do is just go ahead, skip all of that and just keep it real. Somebody say that with me. Don't let your fingers get you into something, oh God, watch it here, that you can't really handle. Just look at somebody and say, keep it real. And then the second thing that you got to do after you keep it real is you've got to be honest with yourself. What's the first thing? Keep it real. And then number two, tell the truth to yourself. Because if you're not honest with yourself, then there's no way that you're going to be honest with God. I'm going somewhere with it. That's right. Just give me, that's right. Don't let me get too high. Keep me down there. Hit it every now and then. If you don't be honest with yourself, you're not going to be honest with God. Somebody say, what am I talking about? Because I'm ready to answer it. I'm going to tell you anyway. Y'all too slow. You see, have you ever noticed when you pray to God, you pray to him when you lying to yourself like you got it all together. But the truth is, your life is ragged as a can of kraut. But then you're going to get in front of God in prayer and pray like you already got it together. That's because you're not telling yourself the truth. You need to tell the Lord, Lord, I messed up again. I know your grace is sufficient, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I have not did my daily bread. I have not did my daily meditation. I have not been kind to those that are in need. I've walked past some folk that I should have blessed. So Lord, let me keep it real with you. I'm not gonna lie now. And the majority of the time that we are praying in our prayer, let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like when we pray to God, just like the number that's on a driver's license that says 167 pounds. And when I look at what it says and I look at who you are, somebody lying. Either the driver's license or you lying. So tell your neighbor, keep it real and tell the truth about it. Get the filters off and come to God just like you are. Am I preaching here today? That's what Peter did. Peter put on a facade like he had it all together. Anybody can leave you, Lord, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna tell my wife today, this is a disclaimer right here. I told you that I'm with you like four flat tires, but hell can get so hot, times can get so hard, that I promise you there are some things that you got to go through that I'm not gonna have the ability to go through it with you. But I promise you that I'm gonna say these words, Lord, I've got to get through this also. Come on and clap your hands. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. So now God looking at your driver's license, and then he looking at you. Oh Lord, looking at the driver's license, looking at what you prayed and where your life really is. And God says to himself, I know they don't think that I'm believing all of that. Can I get a amen? I need to you to talk to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God knows your capacity, and he also knows your ability. He knows your incompetence. He knows your strength, and he knows your weakness. So when I go to God, I've got to be honest. When I ask him to help me in the things that I've got to get done, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. If I'm lazy, you know what I ought to tell God? I should go ahead and make a petition and say, God, you know I'm lazy. Oh yes. If I'm stingy, stop being like Ananias and Sapphira, telling God that you gave your tithe, but you know you're lying, and tell God, I need you to work on my stingy spirit. Am I right about it? If you don't like to read, stop telling God, I read your word daily, and say, God, you know I ain't ever liked to read, even when I was in school. Am I right about it? And stop asking God to elevate you in higher spiritual realm if you're not ready to read, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to put your heart where God can give you his word. I heard the prophet say, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. Am I right about it? So in other words, your word shows me where I am, and your word shows me where I'm going. Somebody say, yeah, I'm almost there now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh yes. If I get honest with myself, then I can be honest with God. Somebody say yes. That's why when we go to God, we should ask him these simple words. What do you have for your servant to do? You know my strength. You know my weakness. Oh, shucks, y'all. But Peter, he got all geeked up, all tweaked up, all amped up. He must have had some Red Bull. I don't know what he had. Maybe he had a shot of Ciroc. I don't know what he had. But he was on something when he refuted what Jesus said and said, Lord, instead of him saying, I know you're right, Peter told Jesus, not me. I'm ready to go all the way. He not being honest. He lying to himself. He ain't keeping it real, because Jesus told him, you got some skeletons, you got some cobwebs in your heart. Am I right about it? Clap your hands and say, yeah. Get a little louder. I can't hear you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Real friends show up. Oh Lord. Real friends, they show up. Wave your hand. But Jesus saw that Peter had to be elevated to another level. Somebody say, he wasn't ready. Come on, tell Peter. Peter, I know you got it in your heart, but you ain't ready. Now tell yourself, say, self, you ain't ready either. God,
have got to work on you. Am I right about it, Peter? Oh Lord, should have went ahead and told God, now God, I'm willing, my spirit, but my flesh, it ain't able. Oh yes, I'm ready to ride now. Get right on top and let me ride. When you're going to the next level, and somebody say, by the way, that's where I'm on my way to. Tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your friends, by the way, I'm on my way to the next level. Are you on your way? If you're on your way, clap your hands, stomp your feet, keep it real, but I'm on my way. Oh yes, come on y'all, come on and clap your hands and say, I'm on my way. Oh yeah. So now you don't just make it to God's appointed levels based on your own desires. No, no. If you escape evil and embrace holiness, then God has to move you. If you're lying and want to teach the truth, God has to move you. If you're young and you want to avoid a thug life, God has to deliver you. I need somebody here that's been through some stuff. If you get out, don't God have to bring you out? You can't bring yourself out. Somebody say, he has to deliver you out. See, yeah. Oh Lord. Now wait a minute. So the devil said, it looks like God is holding his hand and he's not delivering you. But I've got a sermon for the devil. The Lord said that my sheep hear my voice and them will only follow me. Yeah, I give them eternal life. Oh Lord, oh Lord. And no one and no man snatches them out of my hand. Now this messed me up. This did me in, Eric. The reason why that I let this got so close to me, because sheep are placed in his hands. We don't recruit sheep. We don't scout sheep. We don't canvass with sheep. But sheep are placed in our hands. Somebody say yes. And nobody and nothing can take them out. Oh yeah. Say yeah. 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 Oh Lord, I'm finished now, but I gotta make the last turn. I see the finish line, but I gotta get through. Help me, Holy Ghost. The night before Jesus died, the Bible says that he had hemohydrosis. His sweat glands secreted blood instead of water. Oh Lord, yes, he had been up all night, had no water. They gave him no food. They marched him for miles to three different courtrooms. Yes, oh Lord. But what they didn't know is that God was sitting on the bench in every courtroom that they took him to. He did it all just for us. Somebody say yeah. To safeguard my future, they nailed him between the radius and the metacarpal that's right there. Yeah, they laid him on a cross, and when they laid him there, they nailed him between the intermortal capsule space in his foot, and they cut the paranoid nerve, and when they cut the nerve in his foot, fire shot through his body. Y'all don't hear me? And the nail that was in his hand caused his fingers to draw up like a claw. Come here, Eric. And when they nailed him and his hands closed together, he grabbed a hold to my arm. They should have never put a nail in his hands, because now he got a hold of me and I can't go nowhere. I'm in his hands. Somebody say yeah. 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 What they meant for bad. What they meant for bad. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So you go ahead and you let folk nail you there. Oh, Lord. But ain't no nail long enough. Ain't no nail hard enough. Because I'm in his hand. No man, no man. That's what Jesus knew about Peter. Your spirit is willing, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. But that's all right. That's why I'm going to Calvary, so that they can nail my hand. And when they nail it, you won't be at the foot of the cross because you denied me. But that's all right. I'm going to take that claw hand that they nailed me in. I'm going to grab you by your arm. Somebody hold it up.